This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
All right, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. I've got with me here in studio in Bend, Oregon, Becky Hobby. Becky, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, except we've been fighting with technology this morning.
Oh, technology.
Don't you love technology?
I do, and it's a blessing and a curse.
Man, oh my goodness. But it seems like everything's working now, and we've got with us somebody that I'm so excited to talk to, Dawn and Christine Potter. You guys are amazing with all your patience as we try to fix our broken technologies. So, right. So we're so glad that you guys could join us today. How are you guys doing?
I think we're doing fine. I'm sitting in a recording studio and I know how to run all of that, but I can't get my computer to go online.
I know. It seems like with every wonderful update that's supposed to make our lives easier, it gets a little bit stranger, but
yeah,
oh well. It seems like it's working now. So we're so excited that you guys have taken some time to join us today. We've got something that we want to dig into, a topic that I think is really prevalent right now, really important, really timely. And that is this concept we were talking a little bit about in the pre-show of the Imagine Nation. So I'd love to unpack that. Becky, I know you had some thoughts on that. Let's start with you. So this concept, Imagine Nation, like imagination, right? Imagination. Give us the high level on that, and then we'll dig in.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been having these conversations with Dawn and Christine for, you know, several months now. And, you know, one of the things that I keep hearing coming from them and I keep seeing is that, you know, there's this identity piece of the body of Christ and how we are at a pivotal point of truly understanding who we are at a deeper level, core level. But it's outside of these structures that we have been, you know, really kind of trained into, whether it's through, you know, the Christianity or it's through how we were raised. You know, it's these structures of how we are to imagine ourselves and how we are to imagine ourselves in the body of Christ. That really are being challenged, and God has some things He wants to reveal and bring us into alignment to and with of who He is. And so this is the time and the moment in history and where we're going to step into our future, step into the present first, and into our future, imagining what God has always desired His nation to be. Not just, you know, His nation being the body of Christ and the kingdom nation, but really the nations of this world and how even, you know, we've been thinking and pondering through what was God's imagined nation for America, or what was God's imagined nation for Australia, or His imagined nation for Africa.
Right.
And what does that look like to Him now? And how do we come into this place of alignment with Him, partnering with Him, but also for His kingdom purposes? And so, Dawn and Christine, I know that in our conversations, we have talked through a bit of these things, but I would just love for you to kind of dig us into the depths of what we're reimagining on all levels. And you just get to choose any part of that, because it's all under the nation of God, right?
Yeah, come on.
So go.
Well, and as you were talking, Becky, I started to think about imagination and imagine nation. And I went to immediately to that we are called to be a nation of kings and priests. And that was to me the place where the Lord has me right now is over and over again. He's actually talking about the circumference of my mind, of actually being willing to bring my whole life and my imagination, everything I believe, into the circumference which actually is it's about a reduction for increase. And we think that the bigger thoughts are better. And we keep wanting to move out. But what I'm seeing is that to be a true representative of the Lord in the earth and to, I have got to come in under kingdom is means that I am a part of a subjected people group or starting with an individual who acknowledge the sovereignty of God. And so that actually, to me, means that I have to be brought captive first into the bringing everything into obedience to Christ. That's the first step of me going out with his thoughts, with his actions, into the marketplace or to the sphere of influence and the sphere of fulfilling his purpose for me, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Don, is there anything you wanted to add to that before I jump in there?
Imagining, it's spoken of in Scripture that we would be casting down all imaginations and any high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. The difference is that there's a difference between imaging something and imagining something. Mm-hmm. And in that time in Scripture, the word imagination means computing. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. That's what happens is that when I'm thinking in a binary form, it's either this or that, or I figure it all out, or it has to suit something I understand. Anytime I do that, I take out the imaging of something. I take away the ability to image it. So in us, God is trying to teach us how, if you will, to see something before we believe it. To believe something before we see it. I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say. And so in order for things to come to reality, we have to image them in the purposes of God. We have to actually image it. I know that doesn't, it does make sense. It does after a while, it comes to me. So this is what this concept is really about. That's what we've been looking at and trying to go deeper into, is that if I can't image myself with God, I never actually will get there, if I'm making any sense out of that. So we're now struggling with this concept. And so every time we come together or we go to the church or we do whatever, we have to be re-reminded how to imagine God is with us and that kind of a thing. And then if he says something, we have to imagine ourselves obeying that. So I was always interesting to me. Can we obey God if he starts to talk with us, which he uses his Holy Spirit frequently to do that? Or if he starts to give us visualizations of things, that's artists, painters, and then musicians are pulling the sound that's not on earth into this earthly realm so that we can now hear what's going on in heaven, as an example. And so our, if you will, imaginations, not our computing ability, but our imaginations. I mean, talk about a struggle mm-hmm. in life, and that would be named the computer. And, you know, I range between wanting to throw it out the window and then, or maybe just jump up and down on it and before I throw it out the window, that sort of thing. And I'm sure everybody can attest to a moment of wanting to jump up and down on top of your computer, as it's a very frustrating thing because it's an either or all the time. And God is always a Trinity. He's not either or. He's not a one or a two or an X or an O. Do you know what I mean? He is a complete entity that incorporates the imagination as well as the spirit and as well as the natural. So that's where I want to go. That's what I want to do is do that stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go ahead.
So on that, I remember I wrote down a note from one of the times that we were talking. And I wanted to read this to you and just have you go more into depth on this. But this is what I wrote down. Our new nature is supernatural. How have we removed the supernatural from our lives? Our spirit has the ability to access the realms or dimensions all the time. So how do we maintain it and communicate it to others? Because if we're imagining and we're recomputing, there are things that when we're born again, we're taking those things out of the computer. We're getting them out. We're defragging. We're getting those out so that we can then have space to really have God give us the download of what now is possible. So can you just share and go into depth more about that, the dimensional realm of the supernatural and how that plays into this imagining?
Yeah, there's a bunch to that. Yeah, really. There really is a lot. And something the Lord has been revealing, and I would say this as best I can, this is still a toast, still a piece of bread in the oven I'm toasting. But the reality of is when we're on this planet, we are a triune being like God in the sense of He is Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit on earth. But when I'm gone, when I die, my flesh ain't gone anywhere. It's going to stay here. So then two parts of me are going to go to heaven and meet with the third part of me that remains in heaven, if that makes any sense. And that's sometimes a little bit strange to grasp. But so in heaven, there's an advocate for Don in heaven, and he's me, or a part of me, that when I was, because scripture is clear, and it says it in Revelation as well, that I knew before time, we knew God before time began. The Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth, which means God was completely aware of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't mean going to happen in the sense of He knew this was going to happen and that's going to happen and then so on and so forth. He knew if man has my DNA, he will make it all the way through his experience on earth back to heaven. If that DNA gets altered somehow, while he's on earth or in some way before he even gets there, then the results is different. So I said all this to say, and this is a very long thing, which we can talk about. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get into, although this is not the moment to do that, but whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Why is it start from here and go there was my question. Why don't you just bind things in heaven, dear God, and then they'll get bound on earth and we'll be all fine? No, it works this other way. And because there is an advocate, Jesus is my advocate in heaven. And he is talking to whatever part of Don dimensionally is still there. If I'm making, this is all kind of weird, and I hope it doesn't make you all weird, but.
No, it's good.
I feel like we are, body of Christ is beginning to discover this. They already are aware there's a dimension they don't see. We're already aware of that. And there's a dimension of God we don't see. That's here on earth. And that dimension is His incredible Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth, which is the Advocate. He's the Helper. He's all these other things. So we have here also the demonic force of the accusation or the accuser of the brethren. But in the same time, we have a helper, which is basically a defense lawyer, is what that means. And so are the God's Holy Spirit or that portion of God or that dimension of God is here protecting us. He's protecting my soul and my spirit because those are going to make it back to heaven. My flesh is not going to make it back. I think that's probably the smartest thing I've ever witnessed in God's incredibly stunning wisdom is none of this junk is going to make it back into His beautiful kingdom. But the part of me that is has got an advocate, and that's some portion of me. That is awfully strange, and it can be better explained than what I've just said. But this is really now the body. I want to call that the believing body. The ones who trust in Jesus and rely on Him are going to be experiencing things from God that He's revealing now. And He's revealing it on the earth. We'll all see things we've never ever seen before. And that comes from this one little simple thing I'll try to explain. One day the Lord woke me up in the night with the word nomenclature. I thought, right, okay, what's that? And I had to look it up, and it means when something is brand new and is about to start, it needs an explanation. The explanation and the sequence of how it's assembled is called nomenclature. And so he is creating something that's never been done and never been seen before. Behold, I do a new thing, says God. He said it himself. Right after he finished telling everybody, who among you can say, we fulfilled all the things, we fulfilled the law, and we did it all right? And who among you can state the former things, is what Scripture says. And he said, are you going to tell God that we're good with everything as is in tradition? That's what he's really stating. He said, behold, I do a new thing, says God. So he is now doing the new thing he said he would. And new means unseen, brand new. Nobody's heard it. That's what the new song is. Never been heard before. Ode pneumoticus is what the Greek word means. It's unrehearsed. It's never been done. That also means someone's going to have to come up with the nomenclature or write the chords out so that others can follow it as it goes. And that's what we're getting now, is a new nomenclature from our Father, our King. And the part of us that can hear it is our spirit. That's why we're having such a time with our flesh, because it's trying to take precedent over what the spirit is saying right now. If that makes
wow.
sense.
That totally makes sense. And Christine, if I'm picking up on what you're, giving us in body language, do you have something to share with this?
There's just several parts of it. I keep thinking about the law of reduction. It doesn't make sense to my old nature. My old nature and everything from the fall says I've got to make myself more. And the Lord's kingdom, he flips it, and he actually said, if you're willing to be less, then I'll be more. And I feel like this transformational place that we're in is coming out of the humanism of the world and the humanism of religion that has told us that in our own strength, we can become like Christ. And Christ and the Holy Spirit's bringing us, taking those crazy thoughts captive, those lies captive, and bringing them before Jesus and bringing us into the light where we see Jesus, and then we see the insanity of what it was, what we were told was truth. And then we're able then, I think, to be brought lower so that we can actually move into Christ, where we actually can become greater in Christ and through Christ, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so what I'm hearing you say is that there's this undivided life that God is inviting us into. And it's going to take us coming into an alignment where our spirit is connecting with the spirit of God, but then our soul and our body are also in proper alignment together as well. And in their place, so that we can live in that undivided place with God, allowing things that would cause, like our soul is the one that can cause us to want to bring control to what God's doing. Like we want to take control and we want to figure it out and bring maybe even language to it. But God's just saying, I've got that. You can't do this in your own might. We need, he wants us to do this in that spirit-to-spirit connection, where we are having that place of straddling, just like Jesus did, both realms at the same time. Is that
Yes, that's absolutely right. It's 100% right. Mm-hmm. And today I was thinking about surrender. It's the willingness to let go and to surrender to the Lord. And that is the death where we receive our new life. And I feel like we, again, the world and religion are actually systems that want to keep our old nature on life support.
Yeah.
And so it's the fear and not having understood, I think, actually deeply understanding the gospel and the reality that yesterday he was saying that that the world, of course, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but the world and religion both want to keep us enslaved to the law of sin and death. And he was saying we haven't even thought it was possible to be really believed it was possible to be so freed from the law. But to do that, we've got to believe his love is so great that in his love, by the grace and of Jesus Christ, we are then brought through death into a new life, not a new version of the old life. Mm. And I think we're still trying, thinking that the renewed mind is just additives to the old mind, and it's absolutely not. It is a place where the veils are removed, and as Don said, by faith we see, by faith we know, and as we see and know out of our spirit, in that place of faith, what happens, we have given our a full agreement to God, and so we see and know actually as he does, to the portion he reveals to us as individuals. And as we do that, that is part of what is already in his heart, already in his mind. We call it his will. It can then become manifest because now we see the veils are removed, and we're always going to see in part, but there's a larger part to be seen. And as we see with the eyes of our heart, that supernatural, so to speak, spirit understanding, and with that causes, this is what I'm feeling so strongly, we're in a mm-hmm. season of him rending veils so that we are able to step into this agreement with him, this oneness with him that Jesus had with the Father, where they were thinking and saying and being the same thing in synchronization, and then that way the word becomes manifest.
Mm. Okay, that's awesome. So in that, I'm also hearing it takes practice, because we're so used to, like, our soul jumping in front and saying, I've got this. I can do it. But the scripture that I keep hearing is, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And that takes practice, because it's easy to just, like, jump in and take over. But we're in a season of practicing this new way of being.
Yeah, I'd love to pull that back to... You know, when we started originally, we were talking about imagine and how that ties in. And when you were first talking about that, Don, I felt like you were indicating that to a large degree, our imagination is what is leading us, right? So can you tie that back to what we've been talking about the last couple minutes? Because I want to make sure people see this bridge that you've been alluding to on our imagination and that how that's connecting with the Holy Spirit in what God's doing right now.
Most all of us have been fed imaginings through movies and through whatever. And so when someone, you know, we read the beginning of Ezekiel as an example, I see a space movie, you know, I see Star Trek and so on and so forth. So what's happened is that because we have our older, if you will, imagination, has been Jesus, sort of a brown-faced guy, on the painting on the wall. And when he's on the cross, no scars, no bruises, just, you know, a sad face hanging on a cross. So then somebody makes a movie and a new image, you know, the Passion is a new image of that same Savior that is a whole lot more realistic. And so the realistic version of it is frightening, to say the least. And it changed everything about my heart to see Jesus that beaten in under those conditions. Now, I said all that to say, we would not have been able to handle that 500 years ago if someone had given a vivid, vivid picture of what it looks like. And so what's happening is God is growing up our imaginations so that we can go deeper into realms of things that are not yet out in the open. I guess I would use that out in the open kind of a thing. It's the same thing will happen with music. The same thing can happen with art. The same thing can happen in everything that we do. What we have technically, we hope, is far superior than what we had 50 years ago or 100 years ago, although some things have made it through time and are better or at least equally as good as what's happening. Today is only based on convenience. It isn't based on better quality. It's based on it moving faster, getting done. So that kind of dull thing to say. There is a tremendous upheaval in us as people to re-trigger or re-hang on to tradition. That doesn't mean, because scripture says the traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. Now, I don't know about you, but anything that nullifies the power of the word of God, I want to get away from. So I have to imagine, this is the fascinating part. We would love to heal the sick. That would be a great thing to have as a gift. Although God, what God said is, I've given you permission to ask me about healing the sick. That's what the scripture actually says. And so after you ask me, then I will give you the imaginations of this person getting up and walking away, leaving their sick bed behind. Mm-hmm. But without the imagining, now if you've ever read anything about William Branham or John G. Lake or those guys, William Branham would stand in front of someone and imagine their sickness gone, or imagine he would see it in his mind's eye, if you will, his imagination. And then he would just speak to it. Boom. He didn't pray, didn't ask God to get rid of this sickness. He just said, get out of there. Smith Wigglesworth wasn't afraid of punching you and knocking the sickness right out of your body. So what's happening is we are now being challenged. I want to use that word by God. We're being challenged on what we look like, what we feel like, in His word. It's in His word. We're being challenged to imagine the Lord with us, God with us. Mm-hmm. That's the part I think maybe we're not still seeing. I begged God one time, I'd like to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I'd go on and on about it for quite a while. And all of a sudden, one night I'm in bed sleeping and the Lord shows me Jesus. Not in a way I thought I would see him. And he doesn't look like the brown faced guy in the painting. Because that is what I needed to see. That's a key word. Don't try to force my imaginings on another person. Wow. I needed to see him like that. And he was so kind to me that he let me have that. So now I know what he looks like for me. And I know his heart to touch young people. It was a big deal. He made a big deal about how he was going to go to the youth. Wanted me to walk with him. Let's walk together. I'm going to go down here and talk to young people. And man, I'm just like, oh, I'm so enamored by just looking at you. And he stops on the street and begins to talk with young people. And they recognize him instantly. He doesn't have to say a word. They just immediately reverence this guy. And they are so touched just by being with him. And I realize the Lord's not trying to trick any young people into getting saved. He is going to reveal himself, and we're going to see it, and we're all going to be, you know, like anything, we're going to be dumbfounded, I think is the correct terminology. I certainly was, and I know that he did that on purpose. He's doing this on purpose. He will manifest before we see him in the clouds. We see him in the clouds. It's not going to be a big, long, oh, there's Jesus riding around in the clouds. This will be over with in a few seconds when we see him in the clouds. So what he's doing now is will manifest before that time in us, in the body of people that trust in, rely on, and lean over on Jesus. That's essentially, hopefully I answered what you were asking.
That was so good. And what I was hearing you say too is that there's an imagining of God as spirit, but they're in the spiritual side of him, but there's also this imagining of God as the supernatural God, and that's different than just being spiritual. And there's the new imagining of what is supernatural as well.
Yeah. That's good.
Well said.
She can say it so much
better.
We can say it.
Love that. So good. Awesome.
I'm listening incarnationally.
Oh, you're doing good. Jesus right there in you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're awesome. Anything else, Christine? Is there anything that is sticking out to you?
Well, the one thing that when we're, I think about the imagination and use our imagination, I was kept thinking about this conform to the image of Christ. And I'm thinking, I'm just really kind of thinking about that. I think that, that, again, it's the willingness to have what I thought was truth be proved untrue. And that's really tough. We've talked a lot. Don has an amazing song that it's not a new song. It's an older song of his about being born again. And it talks about going through the process of waking up in religiosity and going, whoa, I have become faithful to religious tradition and I've left my first love. I've actually left Jesus in my pursuit to serve Jesus and to be like Jesus, to be what people have communicated to me that Jesus was like. So I have found myself conforming myself to the image of people's ideas and ideals about Jesus rather than allowing the Spirit of God to reshape and reform me into my particular portion of the image that is of Christ himself. And I think that I feel like we're all unique vessels, but we all have the ability to be a portion, our own individual portion of Christ's likeness. And I hate to be morbid, but it requires death and death is simply just letting go and going into the place of unknowing, of not knowing not knowing the way my knower worked in the previous season. So this is getting that renewed mind. And I can't renew my mind. I can memorize scripture, but even the memorization of scripture, unless it's opened up by the Spirit of God, it's still closed to me. Even I could be, because I'd be like a little parrot. I would be I'm speaking things that I still know not of simply, by the ability to recite something, but it's the Spirit of God that opens those things up. And he feeds me the very flesh of Jesus. He feeds me the revelation of Christ. And he brings Christ in and he gives me the opportunity for the Word of God to come in and do like a skin graft or something. The very flesh of Jesus can be is put into an exchange for my flesh and carnal nature. I actually have the ability through the Holy Spirit's amazing incarnational power, he actually incarnates and brings Christ into me and removes from me that carnality, and that brings me into that transformation, that metamorphosis that only the Spirit of God can do, can be the Word of God, the written Word of God. But it's, I've been thinking a lot about Jesus being the sound of God. He is what the Father spoke. He is the essencing out from God. That is what he essenced out that created everything. And Christ, when he essenced out Christ, who is the Word, he essenced out everything, came through this essencing out, this sound, this Word that was Jesus.
Wow, it's so powerful, and I think what you guys are touching on is really something for now. What I've seen is some people that are pretty resistant to this. They're saying, "Hey," they take the whole less of me, more of you, less of me, more of you, and they kind of try to apply it on this. So what I'd love to hear from you guys briefly, and then we're going to talk about this amazing conference, Imagine Conference, coming up. But before we do, I'd love it if you guys could tie in our obligation in partnering with regards to the imagination. Because you've been talking about it. You've been kind of dipping your toe into that the whole podcast. But I think I'd love to just hear you tie those two things together. I feel like there's a lot more obligation, and a lot of times people kind of try to turn that over and say, "No, God, I'm just going to wait and see what you do. I have no part of this. Show me, God, show me." And what I hear you saying is, no, we are supposed to be in cooperative imagination with the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Can you go into that?
Yeah, that is...
That's 2 days.
That's 2 days, but that's well worded as well. We're Well, I mean, we are going to come into cooperation with the Lord. There isn't any arguing that point at some point. Now, we might, it's a lot more comfortable to kind of stay where we are, if you will. I can't tell you how many times I've retired and built a house to boot, to live in it. And the Lord always laughs and says, that's going to make somebody a great house. And he throws me out of it. And it is because, and it isn't because, well, you're one of the old guys and you need to get out there and help the kids. That's a portion of it. But there is something rising up all over the body of Christ right now, where people are feeling this call that is activating an anointing that is in us. And there is such a thing as our anointings being activated. Mm-hmm. When we don't wait for the activation of the Spirit of God, then we burn out because we're using the anointing to minister. Mm-hmm. And ministry, by the way, isn't the end of the world. Ministering to other people isn't all there is to this life. Ministering to God is... that's forever. That's going to happen, and that's going to be forever. So when we minister to God now, we're just practicing getting ready for stuff that's forever. Now, some of the things you're really bringing to the, you know, to the table, several things are involved. We, as a body of people, are committed. There's something happening in where you are in Oregon that is very important to God, and he keeps shining a camera on it, if you will, and anyone whose imagination is capable of moving from place to place, and that does happen, that area of the world starts appearing. There are other places on the earth that he does that, and there are areas on the earth where he wants an open portal to be kept open so that what comes from him or comes from the third heaven doesn't get altered or translated or retranslated into something that's not. It's not really there. There's a handful of places on the earth. I don't know them all by any means. I know that there's not a tremendous amount of them. So with that in mind, there's something going on there that is beginning to be awakened by a lot of people. And I know, without even asking it as a question, there are more and more people revealing a hunger, an unquenchable actual hunger, for something of God, more than just Sunday, and more than just the church, more than just a song, more than just a word. There's more. They're hungering for a higher thing. Only because I'm doing the same thing, I'm hungering for that too. It isn't like, well, I'll have to lead and I have to keep people under my concepts or under my authority. That's the opposite of what God is doing. He is kind of prying us up out of our concepts and bringing us to a place where we're I don't know if I can even make a good right terminology about all of this. He's only just been explaining this in big, huge terms. And whenever I say it, after he says it, I'm all enlightened. And then I try to say it to somebody else, and they're staring at me like, that sounds like Martian. So hard to define this time, thus the concept of the imagination. If it can't be imagined, we're not going to grasp it. Right. So it has to be put into words, then it has to be put into pictures, and so on and so forth.
Right. So the way I'm hearing it ties back to something that you said at the beginning or near the beginning, where you were talking about the passion and how 500 years ago, people couldn't have handled the graphicness of the movie. And it wasn't because the graphicness was inaccurate. They couldn't have handled the accuracy of the graphicness of the movie. So you had said something about a maturing, like God is doing this maturing. And I feel like that's similar to what you're talking about now, where he's maturing people in a way where they can begin to co-imagine with him things. And, you know, that's always a growth, right? Like the maturation, like that's always going to be increasing, hopefully. Like, hopefully that's increasing.
Hopefully it's increasing, yes.
Yeah. I'd love to bridge that to this very, very amazing and exciting opportunity that we have coming up, which is actually this conference that you guys are going to be here with us in Bend, Oregon, called Imagine. And I think that's going to be an amazing, amazing time. It'll be the second one that we did. It'll be a little bit different. You guys are coming out, and you and Bobby and Becky and Christine, Don, like all four of you guys are going to be speaking and worshiping and leading worship in this conference. It's going to be amazing. There's a link if you guys are watching this and you want to register for that. There's both in-person and digital tickets. But I'd love for you guys to take a minute and bridge what we're talking about today with what's going to be coming later this month on the 28th and 29th, just for a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love to come there and be with you guys, because it's kind of like, it's better than iron sharpening iron. It's to me, it's the effervescence of our spirits combining to and the combining and the combined synergy of our spirits with the Lord, our everything just is enhanced. It's enlarged, and we suffer such increase of joy and prophetic imagination.
Yeah, prophetic imagination.
I really believe a lot in portals and places of anointing and open heavens and things like that. But they can be there, and we can still miss what the Lord would have for us in places of opportunities for encounter. But when we're with people whose heart, who have certain giftings, who've developed their giftings of tuning into God, of really opening their hearts and their spirits up to the Lord, and have become willing to receive and perceive what is in his mind and in his heart, and have submitted themselves to him sufficiently to not run with that without him having sent them forth in the right timing. Because there's a lot about timing, as you said, about the maturation of the ages. I was really struck by that, Chris, when you said that.
Yeah,
because it we are in a time that's different, and the gospel isn't different, but there is a way that he is presenting the gospel, the kingdom, all of that to us because of the times we're in, the season that we're in the maturation of ages. And so we love to come there and to partner in with what God wants to say and to do and to release to people all over who are tuned in, but also to seed the cloud, so to speak, because as we submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are seeding the cloud of his intention, the cloud of his purpose, the cloud of his reign. And we don't know by this how exceedingly great and abundant is the our partnering into the fulfillment of his plan of purposes. And it's fairly exciting.
It's
imagined. So we don't really know what we're going to say and do, but we're going to have a really good time doing it because we love to be together. Does that seem right?
Come on.
Awesome. Yes. And it's a time. It's a happening. It's a yes. happening.
I love it.
Where yes. people are coming together to practice imagining.
Yes.
So it's not gonna, it may have twinges and things that may look familiar, but in a lot of ways, what's gonna happen is we just want the openness of our hearts and our spirits to the Lord to be led by him as we go into that place of imagining. So those who are gonna be coming in person, but those who are also going to join online, we want you to practice imagining with us. We want to be able to have that time to say, okay, we're not quite sure what we're going to do yet. We're going to be silent. It might be moments of silence so that we can wait to see his hand moving and dancing in the space together that we are. And we're going to have times where we will engage with music, we'll engage maybe in other ways though too. So this is, if I could say anything about this time, it's come and just practice imagining. Mm-hmm. Meaning, come without a preconceived idea. Join online without a preconceived idea as to what will happen. Just come ready to say, we want to see, we want to be witnessing and partnering with God in what he wants to do to move and be among his people without us telling him what we're okay with and what we're not so okay
right.
with.
Right, what we're going to do and not going to do. You're totally right.
Stop being bossy right. and let the boss boss.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I want to touch on that just for a minute, because I think right now, especially over the last year and a half, right, like the world's been pushed into digital this, digital that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to express to you guys, if anyone is watching this and they first of all, if you hadn't participated in the last Imagine, it was incredible. Don and Christine were here, and just an incredible time of hearing from the Lord and worship. But what I want to say is, if you can't attend in person, the digital experience is not, we don't just put a camera in the back. Like, we're really purposefully trying to identify how do we create a way for you to experience what's happening here in a completely new and different way. So expect the unexpected. Something that you, both you guys were saying in this podcast earlier made me think about our approach to Imagine and as a conference and how we were doing it. And it reminded me of quantum physics, and we don't really have time to get into this right now, but in quantum physics, it's funny how science is always catching up with God, right? So in quantum physics, the 15-second explanation of it is things being in a state, a simultaneous of many states at the same time until they're revealed. Right. So when you guys were talking about the way God is working with us and the Holy Spirit and partnering with us in imagination, that's kind of how scientists are discovering quantum physics, where wow. it's all happening at once. And then we kind of birth it into existence through our imagination. And that is what we're really trying to capture with this conference, where we're saying, hey, we're going to come together. And we know anytime Don and Christine are here, it's going to be amazing. And what they're going to say is going to be really powerful. But we're trying to create an environment without all of the structure so that we have room for what God can do. So I would just encourage you, if that sounds like something you're not sure you want to try, then you definitely need to, and you need to sign up for it. If that sounds like something that you're not into, then you for sure should sign up for that, and do that as well. And also, there will be a very limited number of in-person tickets as well. So we're really limiting that so that the room isn't super crowded. But whether you're in person or online, it's going to be an amazing experience. So we're really excited for that. Any last thoughts from you guys as we're wrapping this up in anticipation of that conference coming in a few weeks?
I think that this, there's something that's fascinating about God, to say the least, but the first five books of the Bible is God telling Moses the story of the beginning of life. So God had to rely on Moses to have an imagination to hear what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Here's God telling you, you know, in the beginning, there was the heavens, you know, I created the heavens and the earth. And so imagine to yourself what that might have looked like. And to Moses, he had lots of things that he mentioned and that he would say in that. That actually reveals to us, way this however many thousands of years later, that reveals to us what it must have looked like. And as I read that, my imagination is triggered. And so I think what this is about at the moment, and not as a negative statement, but too much of the time our imaginations have been stolen or taken away from us or overstimulated in ways that cause us not to see the subtlety of a simple few words. Wow. And so the Father, I think, wants to reestablish and is reestablishing that. I've been up on the mountain here for years now, just singing to God. I sing stories to him. I tell him what's going on in the neighborhood. And he likes it. He loves the stories. He obviously has many of them in Scripture. And so we are going to gather together and tell God the story of, we would ask you to open our imaginations again so that we don't need them fed by anything except your Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then we'll move into what you're telling us today. Mm-hmm. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Mm-hmm. That's a bigger word than we understand. It isn't don't resist my, it means don't let what's crowded into your heart stop me from feeding you something new mm-hmm. that doesn't even have a nomenclature yet. Mm-hmm. But that's how God will build his church that are, that's not made by hands. That's so essentially what he's doing.
Wow.
Really? That's so good.
Wow. That is amazing, and it's encouraging, and it's exciting, because it's exciting that we have the opportunity to live in a time where this is all happening. So it's super cool. We are out of time for this podcast. I definitely want to direct you guys, if you're watching this, listening to this, click on the link and register for Imagine. You don't want to miss this. I can just tell you that with certainty from the way the last one was. It was just pretty life-changing. Yes. So definitely register for that. If you're watching this 5 years from now and the Imagine Conference has already happened, trust me, it was amazing. Still click on the link and you can still get access to it. So do that anyway. So Dawn and Christine, thank you so much, you guys, for spending time with us today. We really, really appreciate it. I know everybody really just benefits a lot from what you guys have, the wisdom that you carry, and your willingness to kind of share that with the world. So thank you for doing that. If you're listening to this, take some time to share this on social media, subscribe to the podcast. There's somebody maybe right now that the Lord is bringing to your mind that needs to hear this particular message that you just heard. Share it with them directly. Like, send them an actual link and say, hey, I think you should check this out. Until next time, we will see you guys all later. And we're looking forward to seeing you in person and broadcasting the Imagine Conference in just a couple of weeks. So it's coming right up. We'll see all you guys later. Thanks.
Blessings.
Bye.